Today is a Tuesday. Let's head to the Dial-A-Doc program, and joining us again today, the FHN President and Chief Executive Officer, Mark Gridley, is back with us again today. Hey, Mark, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. You know, I know a lot's going on at FHN right now, of course, with this virus crisis. As you prepare for more of the cases, talk what's happened here. We've talked, 2 weeks ago now. What's happening since we last talked, Mark?
Some of the things that we've changed around is just really reorganizing the hospital area, and our goal is to really cut down on unnecessary foot traffic in the hospital. So we moved our outpatient labs, so those are people that would come in and get lab draws done or donate specimens, where they may have been used to coming to the hospital. We're now doing that at our Burchard Hills location, which is just a little ways from the hospital, and we're doing that Monday through Friday. And then also we're doing it from 8 to noon at our Highland View Drive location on Saturdays. And we're doing that because it allows people to go to a clinic setting where there's a little bit less traffic. And since we have positive COVID-19 patients in the hospital, we really want to make sure that we're doing our best to try and keep people safe and reorganizing some of those areas. And we also put up a couple more tents to make it more convenient and more conducive to the weather to handle patients outside of the facility. A few of the other things that we've seen happening is, I mentioned we have some positive COVID-19 patients, but on a good news note, our first patient that we had on a ventilator was recently extubated and seems to be doing well. So we're excited that that patient is on the road to recovery after being really ill. So a lot of revised processes and procedures. We have a lot of our staff wearing masks, and we've created some isolation and non-isolation areas of the hospital. And once again, just to make sure we're keeping everybody safe, our staff, the families we serve, and, you know, most importantly, the patients that are here.
You talk about the additional tents that you've put up. What about the original tent there in the parking lot there? What is that being used for now?
Currently, that's being used. We're calling it our COVID-19 aid tent. And so what's happening is that when you drive into the parking lot at the hospital, you'll be greeted by a triage nurse during the day. And that triage nurse will really try and find out where you need to go. If you're having some significant or emergent symptoms, she's going to direct you to our emergency department. Otherwise, if you're having COVID-19 related symptoms, she's going to direct you to the COVID-19 aid tent. And there it's primarily staffed by nurse practitioners and nurses, where they're going to do a little bit more of an in-depth screening, make sure they do a strong evaluation, and if necessary, they will test you. If not, they'll at least try and get you some treatment to help you feel better. So we're utilizing the tent there to make sure, once again, we're keeping a lot of that activity outside of our clinics and outside of our main facility at the hospital.
We're talking to the FHN President and Chief Executive Officer, Mark Gridley, of course, talking about the virus crisis. Mark, speaking of testing, are you testing more people now?
We are currently testing more people now. We've increased our ability to test by having more testing kits, and that was the rate-limiting factor in the past. We're still limited, so we have a finite number, and people still need to have an appointment due to those limited tests. And so they can go online and use our screening tool, which is located on our website, to see if their symptoms really would result in them being referred for a test. And that screening tool is at www.fhn.org, and it's right on our homepage, and it's an automated screening tool. Doesn't cost anything and really helps people that may be more curious than anything else, whether they should call their doctor or do a televisit or if they should talk to somebody about actually getting tested. We also have a hotline that people can call, and they can call this hotline and talk to somebody in person to kind of work through their symptoms and get some advice. And that hotline is 815-599-6412. And I'll repeat that again, 815-599-6412. And that hotline staffed by some nurses that are very familiar with the process and how to do an evaluation over the phone. And, of course, people are always welcome to call their providers, who are the real experts in their care. They know them the best, with any questions that they might have.
Are you generally busy at FHN? And what about, you know, just the general flu season? What's happening there, Mark?
Well, let me switch those questions around, because I think on a good news note, we have not had a positive flu test in the past 2 weeks in our hospital, so I'm going to kind of knock on wood here. that's a good thing. So we're starting to see that flu season definitely slow down. And now as we're moving into spring, we're seeing more of the spring-related allergy type of symptoms as well. But the hospital itself is not necessarily busy from a volume standpoint. We're more busy making sure that we're being prepared and we're planning on our recovery and how do we move through and past the COVID-19 surge, how do we manage that, and then how do we make sure that it's really safe for people to be able to return and seek care in all of our facilities. So we're focusing on that, but our procedures are certainly down since we're not doing any of our non-emergent type of cases. And we do have a roadmap from the American Hospital Association about how to start to resume that, because we know that there's people that have been waiting for quite some time to get those procedures or get some of that work done.
What about your staff? We've heard a lot about the personal protective equipment, PPEs. Do you have enough of that right now?
At present, with our current volumes, we're doing fine with our personal protective equipment. One of the challenging issues is we never know if we have enough, because it's going to depend on how many patients that we actually have, and also depending upon the severity of the illness of those patients. Certainly with a COVID-19 positive patient or any patient in a isolation, respiratory isolation, is that requires a lot of different equipment, a lot of different PPE, and a lot of different caregivers to go through that, so that number goes up pretty quickly just with an increase of a handful of patients. Currently, we're still in a conservation mindset, so we're making sure that we're putting in best conservation practices possible to make sure we don't run out. However, once again, that depends on how many patients we actually have or not.
And my understanding is that some of your workers have started wearing cloth masks as well. Tell us about that.
That's true. We've been encouraging people to wear the cloth mask, and it's primarily to protect other people. So those cloth masks, what happens is that if somebody is coughing or has some of that airborne droplets that are coming from their nose or their mouth, is that cloth mask catches it, so it's not exposing our patients or other coworkers or other teammates to those droplets. Although in the hospital, on our medical unit, so on our floors or in any of our patient care area, we're asking staff that are doing direct patient care to wear surgical masks at the very least, and those surgical masks are two-way barriers. So it's a lot better in filtering out those particles going both out from the person wearing it and then also protecting them from breathing things in. And then on the units where we have isolation precautions, is we have the N95 masks, which you may be hearing a lot about in the news. And those N95 masks, what they do is they block 95% of the particulate or airborne particle matter, and I believe it's to 0.3 microns, which is pretty small, from coming in and out of the mask. So when you have that type of protection, it's better for everybody. So on the units that we are using isolation precautions, that's the type of masks that are wearing. So you'll see some variation on the different masks, and that's a little bit about why we're asking people to do that.
What about your staff and all the medical providers? How are they responding to all these changes, Mark?
I couldn't be prouder of them, and I mentioned that before, is that they're willing to really put themselves at the front line and making sure that they're taking care of all the families throughout our communities, despite, you know, the significant stress that they're undergoing. So when you think about their family members themselves, you know, they're feeling the same impacts as many other people, where they're not necessarily being stay in place or shelter in place at home because they're coming into work. There's still those significant stressors, and certainly we are experiencing the financial impact of having decreased volumes. So despite all of that, they're looking at how do we best take care of the families that we're serving, what's the safest thing to do, and how can we move through this the quickest. So I've really appreciated all of their support and their willingness to put their patients first.
What about, haven't really gotten a surge, that's the good news. Are you still expecting a surge, Mark?
We don't know. That's probably the most honest answer, is that there's a lot of predictions and modeling that are out there. There was a prediction that we were supposed to experience a surge at the beginning of April. We did not. Then it was mid-April. We did not. And I'm certainly fine if we don't. However, if we do, we are prepared for that. And so we're not taking any type of shortcuts, or we're not expecting that we're going to be able to avoid it. We're staying prepared and ready to respond to that. And a lot of it could be that people are just really paying attention to the rules that are out there. They're staying at home. They're doing their hand washing. And that's helped us certainly slow whatever is that's going on in our community.
What about any spillover if there's too much stress on the Rockford hospitals or clinics in out of Chicago, the suburbs? Do you expect any spillover here to FHN?
That's another one where I don't know, but at present it's looking unlikely. And the reason why it's looking unlikely now as opposed to a few weeks ago is the work that all of the hospitals in the Chicago area, some of the secondary care sites that they've developed, and also there's been a close watch of the number of intensive care unit beds as well as hospital beds that are available, and currently they do have availability. So we work pretty closely with the Illinois Department of Public Health and seeing what other hospitals are doing. And so far throughout the state, there are some areas that are definitely experiencing a lot higher activity, like Chicago, and even into Winnebago County, not nearly as bad as Chicago, but still they have some active COVID-19 activity that's happening there. But they seem to be able to manage that within the constraints of their own facilities right now. So there's really no way of predicting, but I would say, you know, knock on wood once again, it seems like we would be okay. However, if needed, we're here to help.
We're talking to FHN President and Chief Executive Officer Mark Gridley again today. Mark, what if somebody is out there, the listeners are out there, they're not feeling well, they want health care, but they're concerned about the virus crisis. What do you suggest?
I think the most important thing is to let people know that they can visit our facilities with assurance of safety. We've changed a lot of our protocols and our procedures to cut down the number of patients that are in any of our facilities at one time. We've kind of spaced out our appointment time, as we talked about putting on the masks and the different personal protective equipment. We're doing all of that to make sure that patients are safe. There's no way to offer 100% assurance, but our cleaning processes, our decontamination processes, are all things that we've doubled down on to ensure people can have that assurance of safety when they come to see their physician. They can also message their physician or nurse practitioner via secure email in MyFHN if they're already FHN patients, or if they're not, they can use our FHN Now, which is available 24/7, and that's a telemedicine service. And it's pretty easy to sign up at our website, once again, www.fhn.org. And what I'd really like people to know is that we're here for them and we're committed to their safety, and their providers are standing by to try and serve all of their healthcare needs. And sometimes it's better just to place that phone call if they're uncertain rather than staying at home because they're a little bit anxious. And talking through that with their healthcare provider is really where they can figure out, is this something that should wait, or should they really be seen before it becomes worse?
You've talked about your staff and the providers there and how well they've responded. What's your view of the community response to all of this? What's your thought about that?
I think that despite the stress that we're experiencing, it is a great time to be in healthcare. And the reason for that, there are so many people within the community that are reaching out and they're asking, how can we help? We've had lots of thank yous that have been sent out on social media and letters and cards. A lot of people have donated the sewn masks and supplies. There's been so many meals that have been contributed to our staff that are working long hours and sometimes uncertain hours. We've had other companies that have loaned or given us equipment. We've had people taking out advertisements expressing gratitude to all of the healthcare workers. And so we're just really thankful for the community that we're in. I think that's really the strength of being an independent community hospital, that we really focus on the areas that we serve, and that two-way relationship of gratitude for our patients and our patients' gratitude to us has been really significant. Our city and county partners in the areas that we serve have been just great to work with. I can't say enough about hearing about how thankful folks are. We also started a campaign where on our website you can download a thank you heart for anybody. And we've asked our staff to do some of that as well, to say thank you to our community members that are supporting us. And so you can download a template, write that out, and then send us a selfie or post it on social media so that we can just keep the spirit of gratitude going.
FHN President, Chief Executive Officer Mark Gridley. Mark, in terms of if people want to find out more information about what we've talked about today, how could they do that?
Oh, certainly. As I mentioned several times already, our FHN website, which is www.fhn.org, we have videos on there. There's some with me interviewing physicians. We have our physician teams that are responding to what's going on with COVID-19, what are we doing, and how are we managing it, as well as a lot of radio interviews. I just heard a few minutes ago that Margie Kochmeyer, our infection preventionist, was on the air with you, and I believe she did a call earlier last week. Lots of useful tips and resources that we have on our coronavirus page that we keep update, and that's something we update daily as we learn more information to put on there. I would also encourage people to go to the source, which is the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention website, as well as the Illinois Department of Public Health website. The governor and the medical director for the Illinois Department of Public Health have been doing daily briefings at 2:30, and if you have the time, it's something to watch. You can hear it directly from the governor and the Illinois Department of Public Health. And I would just reinforce for people to make sure they're getting the information from trusted sources. There is a lot of misinformation that's out there, so really going to credible websites or media that they truly trust. And the other thing is I would share with our communities to be aware of scams. We've seen a lot of not only phishing attempts, but people calling under the guise of providing financial assistance during COVID-19. And, you know, once again, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So I would encourage folks to stick to factual information at our website and at those other websites, and of course, listening to a station like yours, which is doing a great job of helping to get the word out.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Always great to talk to you. Great information. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. Stay well.
All right, you too as well. FHN President and Chief Executive Officer Mark Gridley here today, and that is Dial-A-Doc, and the preceding brought to you today by FHN.